Today on J Secular Live, leftist extremism takes center stage at the first night of the CNN debate. We'll talk about it today on the broadcast.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Secular Live.
You support Medicare for All, which would eventually take private health insurance away from more than 150 million Americans in exchange for government-sponsored health care for everyone. Congressman Delaney just referred to it as bad policy, and previously he has called the idea political suicide that will just get President Trump reelected. What do you say to Congressman Delaney?
You're wrong.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Let's be clear about this. We are the Democrats. We are not about trying to take away health care from anyone. That's what the Republicans are trying to do. And we should stop using Republican talking points in order to talk with each other about how to best provide that health care.
And now, your host, Jordan Saculo.
Republican talking points, or I think it was Gloria Borger who said she heard a lot. This is a CNN analyst who heard a lot of voodoo economics last night from people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, who cannot explain how they are paying for this. Like, oh, it'll be 2% on the dollar if you make over $50 million a year. Yeah, well, I mean, that is not paying for Medicare for All. That's not paying for a Green New Deal. Elizabeth Warren got pushed on this. Chris Matthews went after her very aggressively after the debate, because he said, why won't you answer and tell everybody if you're going to raise taxes on the middle class? She said, well, costs will be lower for healthcare, so they'll be paying out less. But they are going to raise taxes on the middle class.
And you know, not just the top will not be less.
Because
the cost, of course, is never less. No. The taxes, they'll increase taxes. Here's the interesting aspect of what I saw, and this is, to me, that was kind of the telltale sign of this, is you have the split within the Democratic Party. You've got this hard left kind of, you know, progressive socialist wing, and then you've got this more center left, but still pretty progressive wing, and they are clashing. And here's the problem. I believe that the enthusiasm is on the hard left. I think it's the socialism side. And these moderates look like conservatives. I mean, the moderates look like Republicans. The progressives look like socialists. And that's kind of how this is playing out right now.
Well, yeah. And a lot of those moderates are probably gone from this night that we just saw. So people like Montana Governor Steve Bullock, that was his first night last night. He's gone. Likely cannot qualify for the next debate.
What's the qualification for the next one?
So we'll go through that. Next debate is in September, maybe 12th and 13th, maybe just one night, depending on how many are left. It's ABC Telemundo. So this is a network debate, not a cable news debate.
Right.
You have to, these debates, you had to have 1% in three polls and 65,000 unique donors from 20 states and all this. The next debate, you've got to be at 2% in at least three polls and 130,000 unique donors from 400 places in 20 states. So it's what it does, and we'll walk through it.
Reduces
it knocks
the
out
number.
Steve Bullock, probably John Delaney last night, Hickenlooper, maybe Klobuchar, definitely Tim Ryan, and maybe Marianne Williamson. So up to six of the 10 last night could not be there. At least four won't.
So I think you see probably the next debate is in September, I believe.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you'll probably be down to probably eight to ten numbers.
One night.
And then the question is going to be on the left, and that is, this to me is the real telltale question. You've got this Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren tag team last night where they kind of didn't go after each other. At some point they do, and one of them is the survivor of that mantle. And that moves that 15% that they each about have, you know, 12 to 15% to the other in all likelihood, which means all of a sudden Joe Biden, if he's in the 30s, which seems to be his ceiling,
yes,
then he's got a real contender.
And that is the big question, is consolidating this far left vote into a 30% candidate, which is important in the primaries when you have a few candidates. If you can get to 30, you're a contender to win. And for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, it's not going to work for both of them. One of them has to rise up to the top. And it's been Warren who has been on the rise. Sanders has been kind of peaking and falling.
I'll tell you, I think that's right. So, folks, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. So any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls with reaction to the debates at 1-800-684-3110.
Special concert tonight, too, on Jay Sekulow's Facebook page. It's part of the last day of our matching challenge. Any donation till midnight tonight.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, for our radio and TV audiences, let me let you know this. Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, we've got a concert from the J Secular Band as we celebrate the last day of our matching challenge. We had a great response when we did that back in April, and we did it also in December, and just get a great response. It's a fun evening. It'll be competition for the debates, which will be as exciting as they were last night as they will be tonight. You want to watch that band concert. Anyways, you can always watch the debates later. Or, as most people do, they multitask, and they can do both. So, but we encourage you. We have a couple new tunes in there, and actually a number of new tunes, and it's a great concert. It was a live event we did in Texas, and we put it together for you. It's never been aired on our TV networks or channels on Facebook or Periscope. So tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, the band will be performing. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, let me, before we get back to the debate, I want to give a briefing on something. I was on Sean Hannity's broadcast last night just very quickly because we had breaking news. A U.S. federal district court judge in New York threw out the Democrats' case against the Trump 2016 campaign. Now, this case is very important. By the way, the judge was an appointee of President Clinton. So that's this is, I think, even gives a little bit more significance. 81-page opinion, by the way. So this was the Democrats' claim that President Trump's campaign conspired with Russia. So they actually put together a if you will, a lawsuit based on WikiLeaks, statements that were made. They made allegations of racketeering influence and corrupt organizations, RICO. And they brought the suit against the president's election campaign in 2016. They brought it against Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, others. And it involved everything from RICO to Russia and WikiLeaks. And the judge, and this is what's so important to me in the opinion, the judge said, in sum, the DNC does not allege any facts to show the plausibly that any of the defendants had any role in hacking of the DNC's computers or stealing its information other than the Russians. So he says that maybe the Russians were involved, but there was no evidence of the campaign's involvement. And then he said that the allegations were divorced from the facts. This is a Clinton-appointed judge, and the judge threw out the case with prejudice, which means that that same case cannot be brought. Now, this was a DNC lawsuit against the Trump campaign for exactly what Jerry Nadler is trying to review once again for the fourth time in Congress. So that is a, I'm telling you, it is a very significant issue. Than and Bennett's in our studios in Washington. And Than, I was thinking about this as it relates to Congressman Nadler and his attempt to WikiLeaks and all the issues he wants to address. And now we've got a federal court. So you have the Mueller report, no conspiracy, no collusion. You've got now a federal court judge in the Southern District of New York saying no collusion, no conspiracy, no RICO violations. First Amendment protections, by the way. So how does I think it was interesting last night not a mention about Russia in that debate. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the parallel with Chairman Nadler and Chairman Schiff, Jay, is one of desperation. I mean, it's just one wild attempt after the other to essentially harass and try to undermine the president of the United States. Look, you can have substantive agreements with someone of the other party that holds the White House, but there ought to be a reason to make the attacks. And I think the judge said it right in this case. I mean, it was just a desperate attempt to attack the president that was not merited. And again, Jay, I mean, you said it. This was a Clinton nominee. So this is not a judge that was probably predisposed to be favorable to the president of the United States. But when you get a desperate attack to just undermine the president, this is the right outcome. I will tell you this, though, Jay. I don't think it's going to be quite as dismissive in Congress. So far, Chairman Nadler and Chairman Schiff haven't been willing to walk away from it. But the American people have wised up, Jay. I think that's why it wasn't a focus last night, because they know that in order to win the White House back, they're going to have to move on to substantive issues.
The judge, as you pointed out in your statement that you tweeted out last night, that he said that the DNC's claims were, quote, completely divorced from any of the facts.
Completely divorced from the facts. In other words, they made these outrageous claims of conspiracy and you know, engaging and getting into documents, and there was no evidence of it. And combine that with the serious constitutional issues that are raised by all of these, including in this particular case, huge First Amendment issues. I mean, really significant First Amendment issues that were freedom of the press, freedom of association, that were at stake here. This judge wrote an 81-page opinion saying that to the Democratic National Committee, you were way off base.
Yeah.
Way off base, and dismissed it with prejudice.
Well, and this goes to a point. A lot of people picked up on it. I picked up on it last night. I watched the whole 2.5 hours of that debate. It's painful to do, I will say. Pretty painful process because of the 20-minute introductions. The better ways to do it. I actually think the first debate, though, was a little more wild. Having those that so long of an intro, and then that went over the time.
It was just
very CNN.
But it's people. No, who's going to be further to the left? No Russia.
Not a mention of Bob Mueller. He testified last week, folks. That was last week.
The question
week.
Is, will they raise it tonight?
It was end-to-end coverage on every channel in the country.
It did not give them what they wanted.
It's not good for Nadler. It's not good for Schiff, these guys pushing, like Nadler, who's pushing impeachment, because these far-left candidates who were there last night, like Sanders and Warren, didn't even have a chance to, well, one, they didn't bring it up on their own.
Which tells you something right
there.
And
two, CNN questioners, all who are on the left, every one of them, not one of them asked about even impeachment or was there mind change, anything about Mueller? What about election interference? Things like that. It could come up tonight, but it would be kind of weird that CNN didn't give that opportunity unless a candidate brings it up.
But I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this as a litigator. This case in New York, the resolution of this case in New York, combined with the fact that you got this situation. We haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. California files this ridiculous law that to get on the ballot, you have to release your tax returns, which is interesting but completely unconstitutional. We've litigated at the American Center for Law and Justice these kind of questions before when states will try to change the requirements for being on a ballot, which is basically changing the qualifications for running for office. Now, the Supreme Court has already recognized that. Right. The Supreme Court's already ruled on this kind of issue as it relates to Congress and saying states can't do it. It's going to be just as easy or easier when it's the executive branch, when it's the president under Article 2. But this idea that you could put in these extra constitutional requirements, I said, I was asked by the media yesterday, how are you going to respond to California's determination of passing of this law? Which, by the way, Jerry Brown, when he was governor, vetoed. He wouldn't sign the law. He said, I'm not signing this law because it's unconstitutional. So I said, how are we going to respond? We'll see California in court.
Yeah, and Jerry Brown said too, like, if you pass this law, then what stops him from saying you also have to give your medical records over, and your and all these other documents and every kind of legal document you've ever had.
Anybody that's a real civil libertarian and respects the Constitution would say don't do this. But this is the California,
and this is to get on the primary.
Forward. Yep.
So primaries aren't even controlled by it's not like the state election. Primaries are under the control of the political parties. They get to determine eligibility. Political parties. So Republican Party determines their eligibility to get on the ballot. Democrat Party. The state runs it.
The state can't add a requirement that's not in the Constitution.
No, especially not for a primary. Right. I mean, even more so. And, of course, each state is a little different on how you would qualify for the ballots. They're all a little different. But those are not considered substantive changes to the constitutional requirements. Those are procedural. It's, okay, in this state it may cost a certain amount and you can have so many signatures, and that's a bigger state than the smaller state, and this and that. Procedures to get on the ballot. And there's always ballot access people on campaigns. Every campaign I've worked on has had someone that's their job is to make sure you qualify. You always want to make sure you do. So they have procedures. Each state's different. But they don't get to change the substantive requirements. Something else to point out is that under the tax code, your tax returns are confidential. So the federal law protects private individuals' tax returns. So to require tax returns to be released up to a, you know, from a certain period of time actually violates the existing law. And this puts us all in danger. I mean, like Jerry Brown said, what then stops California from saying, oh, we don't like this candidate? Let's see if he ever went to a psychiatrist.
What stops California is nothing. If they accept what will stop California is the Constitution. Is the Constitution of the United States, the U.S. District Court for probably Sacramento, and then I even think we win this. And people were saying, "How's this going to play out in the Supreme Court?" I think we win at the Ninth Circuit.
Gavin Newsom barely signed. I mean, he waited until the last.
You could
day.
Tell
it was a pocket veto. It would have been a pocket veto. It was the last day he could have signed it into law.
Yeah.
So he must. It shows you the pressure from the far left.
But I think you saw that in last night. I mean, the last night's debate is a debate between this socialist left.
Things that will never become law.
Never become law. But, you know, what did Elizabeth Warren say? Well, if we can't dream big and make big statements, why run for president? Wait, you run for president if you think what the policies you're going to put forward could actually get through. That's one thing to try to do. But that's not what they're interested in here, folks.
You know, we haven't focused a lot of time this week because there's been so much on the border wall win by the president. They ignore that last night. As well, the fact right. that the Supreme Court stepped in and said, no, the president can use that $2.5 billion to build new wall.
Yeah, here's what Elizabeth Warren's statement. This was her big statement of the night.
You know, I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for.
Applause, and people are thrilled. I want you to take a poll of that audience. And ask them, by the way, under the plan that Elizabeth Warren's putting forward, your taxes are going to be increased. And number two, you know that private insurance that two-thirds of you have? Or if you're union members, all of you have? That's gone. How do you feel about that? Probably not so good. That's my guess. All right. Don't forget, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org, which means any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. Last day for our July challenge is today. We are dead even with last year. We need to come out ahead here. Your support for the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org and a special concert tonight that you'll be able to support the work of the ACLJ during that concert.
That's right. That's 9 p.m. Eastern time on your official Facebook page. That will go live. And again, I'll be there kind of taking you through the concert as well, because any donation up till midnight tonight, wherever you are across the country, will be matched by a group of our donors. So $10 effectively becomes $20. 20 effectively becomes 40. 50 becomes 100. Until midnight tonight at ACLJ.org. Make that donation day. Remember what we uncovered this week about the Russia.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So tonight at 9 o'clock, the Jay Sekulow Band will be performing for you. You can call it a debate concert, or you can call it a last day of the matching challenge, which is really what it is for July. And we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ, and it's a great way to do it while you're listening to this, to the concert. Let me also say this, that we will encourage you to share that with your friend. I believe it'll be on Periscope as well, or just Facebook. We'll find out. I think it's Facebook and Periscope. Great thing for you all to participate in. All right, we've talked about, let's get into kind of where we see the campaigning right now, or at least the politics of yesterday. What do you view as the big takeaway from yesterday?
Well, for me, Jay, the big takeaway was that if the policies of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren look that extreme during a Democrat primary, I think they're going to be impossible to sell during a general election. I mean, Jordan walked through some of the candidates who are likely not to be around in about 6 weeks when they go to the debate stage again. And I agree with his analysis. But, Jay, even some of those candidates who are going to be out of the process soon landed some pretty big blows against those front runners. I think about John Delaney, who said that he didn't think that any of his opponents understood the healthcare business, even though he did. And he said, we can't be the party that goes around telling half the country we're going to take away their health insurance. But, Jay, if the front runners from last night had that much that many problems inside such a friendly atmosphere, can you imagine them trying to take that message to the general electorate? I just don't think that would work.
I don't know.
But is that going to be the next time they're challenged on it, Than? Because who is going to survive that's going to keep pushing them on these issues? Who's going to survive to the next round other than Joe Biden, who really wants to have it both ways? He's not going to go so aggressive that he's going to alienate Bernie Sanders type voters or Elizabeth Warren voters as the front runner. So is there going to be anybody left who will push as at these positions like the Delaney's, like the Hickenloopers, who come out and say this is absurd?
Yeah, not from last night, Jordan, but you know what? I mean, honestly, it gave me sort of a further cause to wonder whether or not the party apparatus sort of set up who would be against these candidates last night to make sure that they did get one good shot from folks that would challenge them. Because I agree with you, as you get later and later in the process, they're not going to be called out because they're not going to want to harm their own. But I think you need to remember, our listeners need to remember some of these moments, because I can tell you for a fact that some of these statements that were made by these candidates, Jay and Jordan, they are going to be played inside campaign commercials as evidence of how destructive these policies are.
I think what's happening right now, I think the way it looked, I mean, it's very early because a lot of things can change, but you've got this, you got the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, 30%. Mm-hmm. So the question is, one of those two is not going to make it past, say, the spring, right? In all probability.
Unless they just
but then it's self-destructing.
Okay. They could. Well, then, I mean, that's potential because you don't want to give up.
So then, let's say...
But maybe not.
Okay, so let's say that they coalesce. So where do the others that are getting these 1% and 2%, or does it even matter right now? Does that give 30% to them? And then you've got, so it's either Warren or Sanders, and probably Warren, I think, and then going against Biden. And that's the fight. And does she get enough to take the shot away? She gets the nomination. She's not going to ask Biden to be the vice president. Does she go to Buttigieg? Does she go to Kamala Harris? Who does she go to? That's really the question here, I think.
Or none of the above.
Or none of the above. I mean, there is a chance that Elizabeth Warren is the nominee.
Yeah, I think after last night, you see that. I mean, I think that if the Bernie people realize this is probably not our best messenger, he's become kind of a caricature of himself with the hands raising up. Remember, he's doing that with the arms raising and kind of repeats the same message exactly that he had 4 years ago. And, it's a different time. The economy is different than it was 4 years ago. Military actions are different than they were 4 years ago. So, better messenger, if his people, which I know are very dedicated to him because he kind of started this movement, realize she's probably the best messenger. And again, I'm not a Democrat, but I'm just trying to say, I think that who is a better messenger on the stage, it is not Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump on stage. Bernie Sanders is not the greatest. He seems angry all the time, super aggressive, and he's very repetitive. So that's the big question. And then that gives her a real shot. It doesn't guarantee her the nomination, but right now, if Biden remains in the 30-ish percentile after tonight, so if he survives tonight, which he did that, he survived the first night, first debate, even though he got hit really hard, he stayed at the same place. So somebody else has got to get to that point. And then you've got 30-30, and then as it whittles down, who's the third candidate? Is that Kamala Harris or Mayor Pete, I think is the question. Who can kind of remain in there? And again, now Kamala Harris, I think, has a chance if Joe Biden, the new aggressive Joe Biden that we're supposed to see tonight, is bizarre because that's not naturally how he performs. And because of that, does Kamala Harris get a bump that actually survives? But right now, I think the biggest question, we'll take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110, is that certainly the grassroots want a leftist candidate. What they haven't had to make the decision yet of how to, who to coalesce behind. And they can still kind of test Sanders and Warren out. And a lot of those Sanders people, they're very loyal to him. He started this leftist movement and got real national attention, took Hillary Clinton on a run for her money. Probably if the DNC rules were different, could have won the nomination. Would have lost the general election, but could have won the nomination. So I think they're loyal to him, but he's performing kind of like, he's very repetitive. So if Sanders drops and got behind a Warren type,
yeah,
kind of said, you know, we need this kind of, because they weren't mean to each other last night.
No, that was intentional, I think, right.
Listen, I think that's where the grassroots of the party is.
So that would be,
Joe Biden is not going to excite the grassroots of the party.
So then if you're Elizabeth Warren, do you put on your ticket, if you're the nominee, do you put a Kamala Harris, who's a moderate, viewed as a moderate, or do you go with a harder left person?
I think she goes with a hard left.
Buttigieg?
No, harder.
Who?
I don't know if it's necessarily someone that's running for president.
Marianne Williamson.
I think it would only be someone running for president if they had a great coalition and they weren't Joe Biden. And who does, really? Maybe Kamala Harris does by the end of this.
She's still bouncing around, what, 7-8%? Maybe up to
10-ish percent.
Yeah. 10-12. I mean,
she had the best debate last time.
She got the little bounce and then got very little for it.
And it didn't stay. It didn't remain. But no. She's going to be there. Sanders got to be. He's going to be there. So it's up to the left of the party to say, okay, either Bernie or Warren, you're done, because you can't have both of them, or else you can't really challenge Joe Biden for the nomination.
I think that's right.
Because no one else is going to be able to really get in there. And then you've got the dark psychic forces. Take a listen. This is actually a Democrat presidential debate by 65.
If you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country, then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days. We need to say it like it is. It's bigger than Flint. It's all over this country. It's particularly people of color. It's particularly people who do not have the money to fight back. And if the Democrats don't start saying it, then why would those people feel that they're there for us? And if those people don't feel it, they won't vote for us. And
if you're Donald Trump, you're sitting there saying, I hope she is. Could become somewhere. Something she becomes. Because here's the reality. If you're an African-American black minority member of the United States, in the United States, your unemployment is the lowest it's been in history. If you're a Latino origin and you're working in the United States, your unemployment is the lowest in U.S. history. Unemployment in women, lowest in the history. Unemployment among everybody else, lowest in history. Stock market, all-time high. Interest rates about to be cut again. So let me ask you this question. Who are they talking to? Because the people in the room all have private... I guarantee you, if they loaded it with union people, which they said they did...
Oh, they got private insurance.
They have private insurance. You ask them if they want to give that up to pay, so they could pay more money in taxes for government insurance. See how that goes. All right, don't forget the matching challenge.
Do you realize the dark psychic forces got one of the biggest applause lines of the debate? Does that tell you where the left is?
Yes.
Like, witches are running the part. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely new age.
She could be a good witch, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, psychic forces. This is the new Democrat Party. And this is why
don't
Joe Biden...
the matching challenge campaign, please.
ACLJ.org. We got a second half hour coming up. Your donation is doubled tonight, midnight.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So the debate took place last night, and it was, the highlights were not very highlights. It's just how far left can they go? And the poor moderates were like getting just completely laughed at and shouted down. There's an Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have a truce. One of those will be the survivor of that lane. We don't know who yet. I tend to think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren. The ones that are more moderate, I think, have no voice left in the Democratic Party. And tonight, I think it's going to be a pile on Joe Biden.
Yeah, and Joe Biden having to fight off. He's on one side of Cory Booker, who has got to have he's qualified for like the next debate. He's going to be there for a while, but he's got to have a moment to really make the case of why are you staying in this? You know, you're a U.S. senator. If you're going to only poll at 5%, like, let's not embarrass yourself if you don't think you can get more traction. So, again, if you're going to go after a Joe Biden type, so he's got Cory Booker on one side, and he has Kamala Harris on the other. Now, there's some racial issues there right away, and they hit him hard on that.
Do you think they do you think they go after that again, or do you think they do that and that's done?
And see if he makes a stupid comment about how much he loves Fritz Hollins or how much he loves Strom Thurmond. Or somebody else. He was quoting segregationists I didn't even really even know that he was friends with in the U.S. Senate. I mean, the guys from like Alabama in 1970 that were they were hateful, but I loved working with them. You know, that's not if he. But so see, I think they bait him down that road.
Okay, do they go? Okay, so other than the race issue, they go to the insurance issue again. They're going to go to borders. Are they going to go to the Russia hoax?
Okay, so it would be weird to me that the CNN same host don't give an opportunity for anyone last night to even discuss like where they would be on impeachment. Do they think the House should do that? Were anything new from Bob Mueller? Take a hit at the president, basically. They didn't give any of them a
chance. So why would they do it tonight?
And none of them brought it up. So I think it only happens tonight. Now, if somebody, one of the top candidates brings it up, I think CNN may turn around and say, okay, let's ask that to everybody. You brought it up, you know, Senator.
They're not doing
this,
the all hands up, though. They said, and a couple of them tried to do that last night, and the moderator.
You know, if Biden brought it up, or if Kamala Harris or Cory Booker, somebody brings it up.
Yeah,
I think it would take the candidates, because I would be very upset if you're some of these candidates and you didn't get even an opportunity to weigh in on it. But it also shows you, I mean, that more people, the Mueller testimony last week. Did not get a mention on CNN's first debate. Yeah. CNN was the Mueller network for 2.5 years.
And that didn't work out so well for them. Now, Dana Bash questioned Buttigieg, and this I think is important. This is on, they were trying to say, Buttigieg was saying, I think illegal crossings should be handled in the civil courts, which means I guess they're not illegal, because if it's illegal, it'll be handled in a criminal court. But let's save that for this exchange. Take a listen.
Just a point of clarification. You did raise your hand in the last debate. You do want to decriminalize crossing the border illegally.
So in my view, if fraud is involved, then that's suitable for the criminal statute. If not, then it should be handled under civil law. But these show of hands are exactly what is wrong with the way that this race is being covered.
We're not doing that here.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so they don't want that show of hands, because that didn't work out too well for them last time. But this whole idea on border security, that you would open the borders and make it civil unless it's fraud, any of them coming in illegally is fraud, unless it's asylum. So what are we talking about? Unless they had a visa or a passport. So, you know, this is again, talking nonsense. And that's why I'm telling you, at the American Center for Law and Justice, each one of these issues that keep coming up, understand we're engaged in this. I want border security. I also want comprehensive immigration reform. You know that. But I want border security. We have to have it. And this idea that the Supreme Court got it wrong when the Supreme Court got it right, when the president was able to get that border wall started with funding that he had the authority to move around as executive, is exactly correct. But when they're talking about decriminalizing criminal acts, well, if it's fraud, it should be criminal, but if it's not fraud, it's what then? Trespassing? I mean, is that what this is? It's a trespass action? We should do that in the state court in Waco, Texas, or in Brownsville? I mean, what are they talking about? So we're going to take more of this, your calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign.
That's right. ACLJ.org. You have until midnight tonight wherever you are, so it's a rolling time, until midnight your time to donate and have your donation matched. So you double the impact of your donation by midnight tonight at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Listen, there's second half of the debate is tonight. So we will see, does Joe Biden, the new aggressive Joe Biden, really come out? Does he just remain at 30% a week from now and basically wait and see if there's anyone who can challenge him at that? Can anyone else coalesce that kind of, put that kind of numbers together? And I guess I'd say this. You know, give Joe Biden his 30%. Unless he gets hammered tonight, he probably still remains around that 30%. That's probably that because the people familiarity, at least for now. Who else do you think? Who is the rising number two to really take on? Usually there's somebody who's taking you to the wire. Even when in Donald Trump's case, I'll go back to 2016, Ted Cruz. Remember the Iowa caucus, Ted Cruz won barely, but it shook up the race a little bit until got into New Hampshire. But it wasn't like over and done, even though nationally the polls were showing state by state that Donald Trump would likely win the nomination if the voters turned out the way they said they were. You had it kind of come down to a two-man race. Not that long, but it did happen. So Ted Cruz was able to get in there and find some space to take on and make a run at it. Who is that candidate here who is going to make a run at Joe Biden? And I think it's fair to say that right now. Is it Elizabeth Warren, who I must give this credit to? General election, I think has real trouble. But within her base, would excite the base, so she'd get above 45% of the vote nationally. You realize that. So, I mean, she'd do fine for the party. She'd make the liberal activist base happy of the party. She survived Pocahontas, okay? That'll come back up in the general, but I'm talking about even inside her own party, making up the thing about her background, releasing the DNA study that showed it was like not enough of a percent to ever qualify, and never tried to register with any tribal group. You know, being a Native American is not how these work. It's tribal organizations that you are part of. She survived that. She also survived almost running out of money. Her campaign had one of the worst funds. I mean, they raised like $8 million. But they had spent seven of it. So her campaign, which was one of the largest by staff, was almost out of money. So for me, it'll be interesting to see is next time they report numbers, has she been able to kind of kept, she's has the largest staff. So has she been able to keep that and actually has money ready to go to take on a Joe Biden type? But I must say, she has shown some resilience, to say the least. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Rick is calling in from New York on line one. Rick, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Jay and Jordan, thank you so much for taking my call. I just really appreciate your perspective. I think, and then here's my question, isn't this typical for any primary election to where they run to their base during the primary and then run to the middle, and that's where Biden is hanging out? Isn't this the typical a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage? And then the general election is where they become much more moderate, and I think it will be Elizabeth Warren again.
Okay, Elizabeth Warren is not going to become much more moderate, though. I mean, I think Joe Biden, and traditionally, they start sounding more moderate. Even, you know, like Barack Obama starts sounding more moderate. But Elizabeth Warren can't make that pivot, guys. I mean, let me go to Wes and Harry now, bring them into the discussion. That's not her. She's not that type of politician. Her whole thing is being leftist. I think I agree with you that I think she is, Rick, is kind of the leading number two right now. Proved that again last night as the messenger. But she is the messenger for the leftist of the party.
Yeah, and so many of the candidates, most of the candidates, they have moved so far to the left, it's going to be hard for them to tack back to the center with any integrity at all. My takeaway from last night, however, was that there's a divide in the party with the more moderate candidates who aren't getting much airplay and support, and some of the more extreme ones. I guess the good news, Jordan, for President Trump is that it was apparent last night that the Democratic leading candidates are unapologetically embracing their left-wing extreme positions, and they're more interested in standing up for their pet causes than they are in winning a general election. It seems to me, you listen to Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders last night, they actually, you know, feel like compromise is the equivalent of betrayal of their tightly held causes. And that extreme left position is very apparent. I think it's out of step with most American people. And I think you're right. Warren is probably the leading candidate after Joe Biden. I don't really think Bernie Sanders is really going to get the nomination ultimately. He came off last night as a very, very angry elderly man. But at the same time, both with Biden, who's trying to be in the center, and certainly that appeals to voters, and maybe he will have the political wisdom to try and stay there and still win the nomination. But if it's Warren or some of the others, it's going to be hard for them in a general election, to the caller's point, to move back toward the middle in any kind of believable way.
Yeah, I am not saying, Harry here, who is the best to take on Donald Trump. I don't think Elizabeth Warren and that far-left ideology has probably got a shot yet in 2020. But they certainly want to take the party and push it that way, in that direction. I heard some others, like, I don't know if it was Delaney or Hickenlooper, saying, listen, we've done this already with Dukakis, we've done this with Walter Mondale. I mean, some of these names, but the young people active in the politics for it, they don't care about those names. This is different. This is a new left. And Joe Biden tonight, he's got to show that he can be the Hillary Clinton to the whoever is the next Bernie Sanders or Bernie Sanders himself.
I think that is correct. And I think Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders continue, for instance, to insist on destroying private health care, private and public hospitals, and they wish to, in essence, drive physicians out of the health care market. So these policies make no real sense, but yet there is a very strong ideological base within the Democratic Party. And it turns out that the more educated, the more upper middle class voters are in the Democratic primary, the more likely they are to support radical policies. So this continues to pull Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders to the left. And I think Elizabeth Warren, for instance, has embraced policy positions that she cannot walk away from. I think she's a little bit more skillful than Bernie Sanders in avoiding answering questions. So when asked whether or not the middle class would have to pay more for Medicare for all, her answer is essentially is, well, millionaires and billionaires and corporations will pay. She doesn't seem to understand that if you raise corporate taxes, this raises the cost of doing business. So the middle class inevitably will have to pay. And secondly, she doesn't seem to understand that millionaires and billionaires, they make money and they know how to avoid paying taxes by not declaring income.
Right. She also would not say, as she said, costs go down, not your taxes She would raise your taxes. That's what she is saying in the statement is, your taxes will be raised. Take a listen. Here's the exchange Harry's talking about, Bite 12.
Would you raise taxes on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all, offset obviously by the elimination of insurance premiums? Yes or no?
Costs will go up for billionaires and go up for corporations. For middle class families, costs, total costs will go down.
And that is a tax increase. But because she's saying, listen, you'll pay less. So in sum, even though you'll be paying higher taxes, your health care will cost less. I mean, that's making a lot of assumptions, too, that you're going to have a pretty tough health year. And listen, that happens to people, but that's going to happen. It's not going to be every year, and it's not going to be everybody. But your taxes definitely will go up. You may not have a tough health year, but we're definitely going to raise your taxes.
Yeah, I mean, the translation to that answer, Jordan, on whether or not taxes are going to go up is simply one word. It's yes. And I mean, I think this goes back to your point about will there be a pivot during the general election. If Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders is the nominee, Jordan, I don't think there will be a pivot. I don't think there's any way to go. I think they genuinely believe that this is the right course for America. And so they will continue to move to the left, even in a general election. Now, I think the caller is right. If it is someone like Joe Biden, I think he will try to tack back to the center. But Jordan, I would just throw this back to you. I think that's going to be difficult even for him to do, because a position like that he's changed on the Hyde Amendment, which is one he's had for decades, he has changed that during the course of this campaign. I'm not quite sure how he's going then to pivot back to the center. So I think the presence of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, Jordan, I think it may have pigeonholed even Joe Biden. It's going to be tough for him to pivot once the general election comes around, even if he's the nominee.
We're going to talk about when we come back to this idea, too. You know, we're going to charge corporations more. You know, ultimately, they're going to say, we'll rather pay a fine. And the fines, I'll tell you, the federal government is never that great. You know, even like with the Facebook fine this week, it was one of the highest ever. It was nothing for them. They said it needed an extra zero for them to even feel it. And that still wouldn't have, and another zero wouldn't have taken their stock down. It wouldn't have like bankrupted the company or anything. So corporations, I mean, I'm not trying to say they're all great. But most of you listening probably work for one that provides insurance, whether it's a small company or a big one. They're paying a lot to give you that benefit. And sometimes that means that wages don't increase as fast because of how expensive that is. And they want to make it more expensive? They want to tax your employers more? That's your job at stake. 1-800-684-3110 to weigh in. Final segment coming up. What do you expect to happen tonight between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? 1-800-684-3110. Remember, final night of our July matching challenge, ACLJ.org. You have until midnight tonight to double the impact of your financial contribution to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, a couple things I want to mention to you in our final segment of the broadcast. First, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on my dad's Facebook page. That's just a facebook.com/jseculo. The band will be performing a special, because the matching challenge, final night. I'm hosting that at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I know the Democrat debate's going on, and we'll be following that closely, but I know you can do two things at once, especially with this Democrat debate. It's already, that debate will already have been going for an hour, which, again, is a pretty long time. So, again, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just saying there's an option for you if you don't want to tune in for an hour and a half extra of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and who gets called a racist tonight. Again, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, facebook.com/jseculo, the jseculo band. I'll be hosting it. Again, this is a concert you've never seen before. And then they're going to be live in studio at the end of next month. So again, but this is a concert we've never showed before when the jseculo band was on the road in Texas. So again, check that out at 9 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. That's facebook.com/jseculo. I've also launched, you may have seen it. If you follow us on Facebook, either me or my dad, and my Facebook page is it's facebook.com/official or Jordan Seculo Official, I think is the correct way. Let me make sure I'm saying that right. As we have all these different officials and what's this and what's that. facebook.com/JordanSeculo ACLJ is the one we use. Again, I have a new web series up. It's called What's Next. They only run about 3 minutes long. Summer topics that, again, that recent victory of In God We Trust at the Supreme Court, they don't always get enough attention, but they're so you can share it with your friends and they can get educated, like what our national motto is. I noticed that even under the discussions, there were people saying, that's not our national motto. Well, it is. It's not E Pluribus Unum. That was kind of a de facto motto. It is part of our national seal. It's important out of many one. I mean, it's an important statement to make. But our national motto officially by law is In God We Trust. And it's constantly challenged by angry atheist groups. And just recently, the Supreme Court dismissed a challenge to In God We Trust on our currency. So it's 3 minutes, and it kind of gives you the history, the legal challenge, why you have to take it seriously, even though sometimes you feel like, why are we having to fight this? Why it's not a violation of the First Amendment, and why it's not an establishment of religion, all within 3 minutes. So you can share it with people. Had a great first response. So we're going to be putting out one or two of these a week. So you can see that again at facebook.com/JordanSeculoACLJ. And I've also launched an official Instagram account, where you see behind the scenes, including, you know, when my dad's here prepping for the radio broadcast as well, doing all these shoots, even behind the scenes when I did, you know, like Hannity TV broadcast. That's Official Jordan Seculo on Instagram, Official Jordan Seculo. And to check out the What's Next series, and over 100,000 people have already done so, and share that with your friends and family. Again, that's facebook.com/JordanSeculoACLJ. All right, let's get back to it. I want to go. Let's play this bite again from Elizabeth Warren about your private companies and your employers and their costs going up.
You raise taxes on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all, offset obviously by the elimination of insurance premiums? Yes or no?
Costs will go up for billionaires and go up for corporations. For middle class families, costs, total costs will go down.
Okay, so she doesn't want to answer the truth, which is that middle class taxes will go up. She believes your cost, total cost of like living, will be less under this healthcare plan, but you will be taxed more by the government. And who's to say you're going to need that much more healthcare that year and the next year and 10 years later? But the government's going to be taxing you more. But another point here that's important, because most people work for these corporations she hates so much. And that's where most people in America get their insurance. 150 million plus people are getting their insurance, which then covers their four family members, you know, or their three family members too. They get it from one of those evil corporations she's talking about. And if the costs go up for the corporation, Harry, your wages don't increase, people get fired, and it's already, and again, I'm not trying to praise every big corporation because they're out there for their shareholders ultimately, but also they are paying a ton of money to provide their employees insurance. And listen, part of that's to be competitive in their own market. So you offer that for your full-time employees, and you want to be competitive with other people that would be looking for jobs in that market. But it's already costing them a ton.
Absolutely. So healthcare costs in the United States are rising. And one of the biggest drivers, of course, is the rise in the cost of private healthcare coverage. And the question for many Americans, number one, is will they have a job after Elizabeth Warren's policies are enacted? Will their cost actually rise through taxes? But another issue, of course, is will they have coverage? Because, for instance, if you look at the single-payer plan in Canada and ask this question, what is covered and what is not covered? Well, ambulance coverage is not covered. Ordinary eye care is not covered. Home care is not covered. Long-term care is not covered. Dental care is not covered. So many things that are covered through private insurance in the United States are not covered in Canada. And so Warren and Sanders, they like to trumpet Canada as an example. But Canada is an example of rationing. If you live in Canada, you will not be able to get an MRI for at least 5 months after your physician prescribes it. In addition to which, you may not have a doctor at all. You have to apply to a physician in order to be covered by a physician's care in Canada. These are not rights in Canada. And so you will have to go perhaps to an emergency room in Canada. We were in Canada last week. Guess what? They charge for lots of medical care coverage.
Yeah.
And so what Sanders and Warren are talking about is imaginary. It's an illusion. And they may indeed be skillful in fooling many of the voters, but the reality, of course, is health care costs it will likely go up, or rationing will go up if we adopt any of their plans.
They try to ally, they're the force for the blue-collar worker. But this is not a Republican pointing this out. This is Congressman Tim Ryan. He's a Democrat running for president. Now, he probably won't make it to the next debate. He represents, amongst other places, Youngstown, Ohio. So a lot of blue-collar union workers. Donald Trump, by the way, does very well amongst those voters. Republicans have been doing better even under the Bush years with those voters because they realized that their leaders were so far left and that the policies are exactly what Tim Ryan says. This is a Democrat congressman running for president responding to Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders' health care plans.
Here we are in Detroit, home of the United Auto Workers. We have all our union friends here tonight. This plan that's being offered by Senator Warren and Senator Sanders will tell those union members who gave away wages in order to get good health care, that they're going to lose their health care because Washington's going to come in and tell them they got a better plan.
So again, you're going to lose. If you are a union member out there, you would lose your health care under what Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are supporting. Kamala Harris, it's like a little more confusing. Can they actually get there? And that's if it ever passes as well. But then they're going to, but you know, you can't win as a Democrat if you can't get the blue-collar vote. You still can't win without doing well in the Midwest. It'll be very interesting to watch tonight. Does Joe Biden survive? Do we see a new kind of engaged Joe Biden, like his campaign is saying? They've built up the expectations. ACLJ.org, final day until midnight tonight of our matching challenge. We need your financial support. If you can, make a donation. ACLJ.org, Jay Sekulow Band. Be live at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference.